going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A goatee without a mustache is commonly called a chin puff.
Oh, man. That sounds like a cutesy nickname that somebody would give you if you were like, if you looked like Mason Graham. It's like, oh, you chin puff, you. Yeah, my little chin puff.
A chin beard.
Ugh.
A chin strap, which I don't think is... I've seen Amish beard, but I think that's different. Or a Shenandoah. A Shenandoah, excuse me.
Okay.
So I think he's got to shave his face now.
Yeah, he's got... It's a bad look. When nobody shaves his face, he looks just like the kid from The Sandlot.
And that's a bad thing?
I think that's a bad thing. I don't like the adult version of the kid from The Sandlot. Not actually the...
If that kid grew up and kicked everybody's ass. Speaking of an ass kicker and a name taker... He joins us every week. We usually get into this earlier this week. We had a crazy week with all the draft stuff. Well, Cleveland's own John Fanta, you know him, you love him, joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, if you found out the facial hair that you were sporting was called a chin puff, would you just shave that bad boy off?
Yeah, it would come off. Although I'm envious of anybody. I could never grow a beard, guys. Like, it just was never happening. I mean, even when I was in high school, I'm looking around class, and I'm like, I'm not going to touch this when I'm 30. So
that's when you gave up, was in high school? I couldn't grow a beard.
Just as you're hitting puberty, you're like, I don't got it, guys.
Yeah, just stop while you're ahead. Stop while you're ahead, fellas. That's where I was. Yes, I would probably shave that off. But knowing us, whatever Mason Graham wants to do, with his facial hair, there'll be T-shirts made up. You know, it'll happen around our parts, no question about it.
So you said you have an intriguing hypothetical for JP and I today. We want to get to the bottom of this one.
Well, the hypothetical actually doesn't entail anything tonight. We could play that game maybe later in the call. But hypothetically speaking, I'm asking everybody listening to your show right now for a moment to take a step back. To me, the reaction off last night wasn't just because there was a good majority of people infatuated and enamored with Travis Hunter, but the reaction off of last night, the negative reaction off of what I felt was a very smart football move in which you only move down three picks in the current draft. You got a second rounder in this draft. You're set up for tonight. You get a fourth rounder and you get another first rounder, which is going to be a top 15 pick next year. It's going to be. At worst, the Jaguars are an okay team. Okay. I don't think they'll be very good, but okay. Remove Andrew Berry. Remove the brass.
Okay. I can do that right now.
Think about them. Don't think about that. Don't think about them and their track record and what they've done. If you look at the move itself, and I know what your feelings are, but I'm challenging the listeners out there. If you look at the football move itself, remove who's been making the picks. I know that's not the world we live in, but is it the smart move? To me, if you are sitting there and you are saying, that move was not smart, in which I felt the Jaguars gave up too much draft capital. And in a rebuild for them, where they have, the Jaguars, even with Travis Hunter, still have a whole bevy of unknowns compared to knowns about their organizational future. You make that trade for a franchise quarterback. You don't make that trade for a wide receiver or corner. I don't care how big the horn is on his unicorn horse. To me, if you look at this situation, this was smart football. Remove the track record. Remove what's next. Look at it in the bottle that it's meant to be looked at. That was a smart move last night by the Cleveland Browns.
I think there might be some people who care about how big his horn is.
We just got to figure out how big the horn is.
Guess what, though? It doesn't matter. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. I understand that people are saying, you know, it was staring them in the face, and they needed to take him. What? I know why you guys are laughing. Listen.
You got to stop, man.
You guys have had a long week. I understand the people out there who were obviously very excited about the idea of having Travis Hunter, and since you don't have him, if you're upset about that, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how you should feel. Here's what I do know. Had the Cleveland Browns gotten Travis Hunter, they'd still be a back half of the NFL team. And with the Cleveland Browns not getting Travis Hunter and getting Mason Graham, they're still going to be a back half of the National Football League team this upcoming season. But these are the repercussions of making the worst transaction in league history. And when you do that, you are on a 2 to 3 year plan. That's the reality of the situation. So when people last night were like, well, they're admitting that this upcoming season, that they're not trying to win at a high level. Newsflash, wake up. They weren't going to win much of anything to begin. And when I say much of anything, like, okay, you want to talk about between what, 6 and 10 games? Fine. Like, if you want to talk about that, that's great. I'm talking about what the end game is in the National Football League, Cleveland. The end game is to win a championship. With or without Travis Hunter, the Cleveland Browns are not winning their division, and they are not contending for a title next year, nor coming close to that. You got to play the long game. Now, if you want to say the people who are involved in the building shouldn't be getting second and third chances to play that long game, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you on that, because I think your argument is fair on that. But when we look at where this organization is right now, they need to bolster draft capital, and they need to look for where they're going to find their quarterback of the future. And let's accept reality here. Chances are they're not finding that quarterback of the future this draft. They're finding it in next draft. So you had to benefit yourself to do that. And that's what they did last night.
Yeah, the only thing I would push back on, and listen, Nick obviously was very much in favor of what happened last night. I was not mad or angry about any bit of it, but I did think that fans are allowed just a little bit of a grace period here to understand that, like, Travis Hunter would have been fun. And, like, watching football and pouring your time and your effort into it, there is a fun factor into all of this. And Mason Graham, again, great player, great everything. Not nearly as fun as Travis Hunter is. And if you don't believe that Andrew Berry is the right person to take the selections and actually do the right thing with them anyway, then I'd at least like to be entertained next year a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what, Jonathan? I understand that viewpoint. I do. But my thought process is this. Okay, then that's the goal, is to be entertained? You know, This organization, for the people who are like, well, they always think that throughout the history of the Browns, throughout the last quarter century, now these are different regimes, you know, they've always thought they're smarter or whatnot. They've also gone for the entertaining move. They've gone for the flashy move. And how's that worked out for them, right? From Johnny Football to, oh, we're going to think outside the box and go and get Brandon Whedon, to, you know, the misses that they've had, where they've... And the Phil Taylor comp, please, get off my lawn with that. That is a ridiculous comparison with the Julio Jones thing. Like, that has no bearing on what they did last night. And the fact is, they picked a guy at number 5 who was a terrific value in that slot and is going to be a pro and a long-term pro who's going to perform at a high level and I think gets it. And I mean, just hearing that interview with the defensive line coach from Michigan, it's pretty clear how beloved Mason Graham is and how much of a fit he can be. So I get the whole idea that Travis Hunter would have been fun. We need to see it too. You know, I want to see what it looks like. I mean, okay, so Jacksonville Jaguar fans, I don't know. I mean, we know this much. Cleveland Browns fan base is 10 times better than that.
I was going to say all 7 of them, John? Yeah.
Yeah, right. That whole gathering. I mean, is it going to be fun to watch him play football? Sure. And would the Browns, you know, benefiting in jersey sales and branding and all that by taking Hunter? Of course, sure. But guys, I do think you have to look at the picture here, and the picture today is bleak for where this organization currently stands. And when it's bleak, you've got to increase your chances of being able to hit the home run. And the fact is, if they pick a quarterback tonight or they don't, my personal belief, right, like if you want to go and take a quarterback, go ahead, because it's a quarterback league. But whoever you take, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to take one when you know what the cards are heading into next year. If they take one, I'm not going to be mad or upset about it. I myself have and Nick can rip me for flip-flopping, but when I came on your show, first appearance, I want to say February, I really did like Shedeur Sanders. As each day and week passed, there's no question that the 31 other National Football League teams have been turned off to this kid and this circle and the family and the father. I don't want to get involved in that circus. We've seen these circuses from Johnny Football on down. I don't want any part of that circus. It just adds a distraction. It just adds a morning show first take topic where Deion says something in the press. Do you think the Browns want to get involved in that again? If they do, that does make me kind of scratch my head and say, man, I mean, I guess they saw the value here in the talent, but what did they see that apparently several other teams were not willing to bet on? Because it's a quarterback-driven league. And you would have thought if there were much appeal there to Shedeur, somebody would have jumped in and gotten him at the end of that first round. And clearly nobody wanted him. And he might not even be the next quarterback taken on the board. He might not be.
John, when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, is there any point, is there any depth to which the Shedrop can go where if it's at 94, if he's there, will you change your mind on it?
Nick, I got to be honest with you, probably not. Because for me, like, do I want to be the outlier? Do I want to be the butt of jokes? You know, you know right now, let's be honest with ourselves. You know right now if the Browns are the ones to take him, they're going to be like, oh, there it is. There's Cleveland trying to be the smart guys, trying to be different, trying to be creative and unique and whatnot. And they went ahead and took him, and this is a match made in hell. I mean, that's what the narrative's going to be. And then this kid, you know, the things that have come out in the recent weeks about him, about his time at Colorado, the whole jersey retirement thing, I think only hurts him. Let's face it, guys, he shouldn't be getting his jersey retired at Colorado. It's ridiculous. It is. I know that dad controls everything, but that elephant in the room is real. Of Deion and the narratives and the amount of talk that surrounds him. So, to be honest with you, no. I would not take if they trade one of these early second round picks. I know people are mad at this, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went ahead and did that. If I'm the Cleveland Browns tonight, I start this second round off, whether it's a 33, 36, however, one of those picks has to be on a running back, in my humble opinion, based on where you're at. And I would take Trevion Henderson out of Ohio State. That's what I would do tonight. And then from there, you know, what you want to do, look, there's a wide variety of things that you could do. We know Andrew Berry likes secondary players, and there's a couple of them, from a Will Johnson to a Mamory out of South Carolina to Siobhan Revelle out of East Carolina. Like, there are some options there. But I don't think I would say, Nick, no to the Shedeur thing. However, with a quarterback, like, if if Milroe's still out there as the third round begins, let's just say that scenario ends up being the case. I know that the Louisville quarterback, Shaw, keeps getting brought up now in discussions that he could actually be the first of this group to go. That's been picking up a ton of steam today. If they go ahead and take somebody there in the third round at quarterback, they're gonna take a quarterback at some point. I'm fine with that. I think there's a lot of talent, and the Browns have a lot of holes to fill here, and I think that there's other ways they can fill those holes and to start the second round with these two of the first four picks.
Whew, when you said elephant in the room, I thought you were going to go on another rant about the horn on the unicorn horse again.
I thought he was going to use the unicorn horn to fill those holes.
I mean, that's one way you could do it.
you guys are special. I mean, that's why I love joining you every week. Look, I understand about the – I just – for me, you make that trade if you're trying to go after your generational quarterback. That's just my humble opinion. If I were Jacksonville doesn't even know what their quarterback situation is going to look like a year from now. You know, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is any good, to be candidly honest with you guys. Like, I don't think he's rediscovering magic. He's not a top 15 quarterback in this league right now. I'd take 15 guys in this league over him. He's a massive question mark, a massive mystery. You gave up capital. You gave up your first round pick for next year, where in a quarterback heavy draft, you could potentially find the next answer to your franchise. You said last night goodbye to that, giving that to a team that we know for a fact a year from now, the Cleveland Browns hold the keys to the car in the 2026 draft. And I understand there's people out there. I heard on the morning show this morning, Ken Anthony and Brian Hoyer on him. Look, I love Brian. But, you know, a lot of people at the top, well, they're just punting on 2025. They're punting on it. Guys, it's like, acknowledge the reality of the situation. This football team is not going to get 11 or 12 wins this upcoming season. They're probably going to be sitting somewhere, I'm going to say, somewhere around 6 or 7 wins. And maybe I'm being a little positive there, but like that's the more that you acknowledge where this team is and the fact that this had to be a multi-year rebuild. Now the thing that I'd be concerned about if I were Andrew Barry is that it is the Cleveland Browns, and that if this upcoming year goes as poorly as it looks like it may, will he even be able to utilize the picks that he acquired in his trade? Will he be the one to use them a year from now in the draft? Like, that question ran through my mind last night in a big way.
John, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. And go Browns.
Go Browns, guys. We're going to find out a lot about what the brass in that room think about the quarterback position in this draft very early on tonight. I myself am not enamored by that thought. We'll see what they do. Take a running back. I'd say take Henderson out of Ohio State.